Welcome, fair listeners, to PWT Talks NXT. I am your host, Kelly Wells. Last week, we bemoaned the fact that we didn't get any listener emails from you guys. You can email us at pwtorchnxt@gmail.com. Last week we had none to cover. This week we have eight. We have eight emails, so many of you took what we said to heart. We'll see how many we can get through. I'm not promising we're going to do them all today, but we're going to give her a shot. I've tried to work in a couple where they make sense from a context standpoint, and then we'll see how many of the others we can do without getting to be overly long. So, anyway, I'm Kelly Wells. I am your host. I write NXT trackers off and on for the website for The Torch. And I'm also here with, well, first of all, Justin James.
Good evening.
And I'm also hanging out with Harley Padgett.
Hello.
Okay, so
We'll keep it short this week.
Simple. We all write stuff on the site. That's what we do. So we're going to go right into it. TM61 versus AOP was our opening match, was the closing match of the last Dusty Classic, but same finish. We got AOP going over TM61. I do have a question about this, so we're going to cover that as soon as we talk about the match. I don't know. I don't know whether to be surprised that AOP were in this tournament at all, and certainly I think I'm surprised that TM61 went out in the first round. That doesn't make a ton of sense to me, but who knows what they got in mind for us. NXT usually takes care of us, so we'll see. But Justin, what did you think of this opener?
That was my reaction as well. I think that I don't understand the booking of having these two teams square off in the first round, because you know, AOP is clearly a dominant team, and it would be pretty big if TM61 beat them. But TM61 does not need a loss at this stage of their comeback, even if it is against AOP, right? Because AOP is the AOP. That said, what I really noted in this match, and I don't know when it happened, I don't know if this is just the first time I noticed it or what, but AOP has shifted from just being this dominant team, even against established teams, to they do more selling, they give up more offense, and they make their opponents look good. You know, and I wanted to give them credit for that. That AOP has just really developed into, I think, one of the better acts of NXT, and I hated them when they debuted.
They definitely came in green. I was hoping that we'd get something out of them. I thought it was odd to pair Ellering with them when I thought that they might be dead in the water. I started turning around on them. I wouldn't say quickly, but I definitely saw the work that they were putting in. It's a tightrope walk, because I don't know how much you want these guys to sell overall, but the ability to do so makes for a much better match than if they never do. Because I don't ever want to see another Ultimate Warrior. I really don't. So this was a pretty decent match. I loved the fire from TM61 in defeat. So at least they looked good. At least they had a really competitive match. But again, very strange. It was in the first round. Harley, what did you think?
Yeah, I liked the setup of it. The idea that the two teams that met in the finals last time are the first match of the tournament this time. That's some beautiful bookmarking there. And I liked what I thought was going to be the story, which is TM61 come back from injury. They beat the team that they lost during the tournament last time, and this time they pick up the big win, and it starts them off down the journey through this tournament. We've been saying for 6 months, oh, AOP are probably getting called up tomorrow. So I totally bought into TM. I mean, I think I said last week or the week before in the show, TM61 were my pick to win the whole thing. That seemed like an obvious outcome to me. So I was flabbergasted by the end result here. I don't know what it means. I can't, if TM61 can't beat Authors of Pain, I find it hard to believe that Street Profits or Heavy Machinery are going to.
Right.
But I don't know. The only it's very interesting where AOP goes from here. I can't see them winning the tournament again, but I also couldn't see them beating TM61. So who knows at this point? The only story for TM61 that kind of came to mind as a result of this match is maybe this feeds into a heel turn for them. Because when we were looking at the eight teams for the tournament, I think last week we were discussing it, there's a surplus of babyface tag teams in NXT right now, but there are practically no heels. Your Fish and O'Reilly, Authors of Pain, sort of, and that's in Sabatelli and Moss if they stay together. But that's kind of it. So I don't know. Maybe the frustration of all this kind of gets to Nick and Shane, and that creates some new feud opportunities going forward.
Yeah, I guess what I thought maybe they were going to do here is the AOP will be knocked out one way or another, protected, of course, and then TM61 really wants one last match with them, and maybe they work a second tag team match. They really have never done multiple tag team matches at the takeovers, but I could see TM61 versus AOP as a non-title one. TM61 finally gets their very hard-fought victory, and that's when AOP finally really truly goes up, as we've been saying for the last year or 2 years, all of us on this podcast and before it. So I guess I could see that happening, but like you said, the fact that they went through TM61, who else are they going to go through? As far as TM61 possibly turning heel, I feel like their offense is just so well suited to this face thing they got going. But at the same time, I don't know who you turn. The Street Profits could probably work heel if you wanted them to, but they're just too popular to do something stupid like that right now. And then Heavy Machinery, I don't see their act working as heels at all. So I don't know. I don't know, guys. We did have a question about this match, and I'm just pulling it up right now. I gotta sift through the many questions I got. This is from Patrick Allog. I might be getting that last name wrong, but I know the first name is good, so we're good. Guys, you'll read this on air after the match, but I was disappointed that AOP was in this tournament. I was hoping they would just not do the tournament and have their next match on the main roster. Even more disappointed that they would face TM61 in the first round. If they have to be in, I would have liked to see them in the finals. Also, I was hoping to see the Dusty as a 16-team tournament like in years past. Anyway, enjoy the podcast and keep up the good work. Patrick from Green Bay. So, Patrick from Green Bay, I guess we kind of covered the other stuff, but as far as the 16-team tournament, I'm into that, but they used... I mean, I'm always for as big a tournament as you can give me. I'm huge into tournaments. Give me as many matches as you can give me. I think that they kept it simple because this way, in the previous two, they've had matches that happened off TV, which is kind of a bummer because if there's a tournament, I want to see the whole tournament. I mean, Dash and Dawson had their first big win in the tournament, and it was never even televised. So, I don't know. This, I like the idea of there being a 16-team tournament, but in that case, there would have to be a lot of wacky tag teams that don't get along and all that stuff. And I think maybe keeping it simple and then allowing us to see the march towards WrestleMania weekend is probably what the idea was, right, guys? Harley, yeah, Justin, yeah?
Yeah. I liked the past two where you did have those. It sold the prestige in the first year and the second year where so many people wanted to win the tournament that guys who weren't in tag teams were scrambling in the locker room trying to find a partner just so they could enter. So I liked that idea because it really sold the tournament. Like, this is a big deal. Finn Balor and Samoa Joe are willing to team together just to compete in this thing. And then you got the fun dysfunction and you got people turning on each other and all that. So I like that and I do miss that. It would have been nice in a 16-team thing. I think we just got kind of the schedule got strangled by the surplus of tournaments. You had the Mae Young Classic. You've got WrestleMania coming up. You didn't really have time to fit a 16 tournament in anywhere on the schedule. So I think that's more or less why we ended up with this shortened, streamlined version.
Right. All right. Well, I guess that's that for that tournament. Next week, we do have two tournament matches. In fact, we have four matches already announced for next week, which is crazy because this week we only had three. We do get the Sabbatillion Moss versus Sanity match, Street Profits versus Heavy Machinery, Pete Dunne versus Adam Cole, which I will get to, and then Lacey versus Dakota Kai. I'm very, very excited to see my girl Dakota coming back to TV. Very excited about that.
I like that we got the old school Sanity promo tonight. All four of them together, lurking in a stairwell.
Yep. I was going to bring that up as well. Fun stuff. Moving on. Going down the stairs and going person to person. Fun direction there. Yeah, good stuff. So looking forward to that one. The next thing that was on the show was Pete Dunne and Roddy backstage or out in the garage, wherever they were, kind of setting up, you know, talking about their last match. Pete, again, was a little bit respectful, like more than we would have seen him in the past, to the point where I feel like they might stop fighting the current and just turn him into a badass babyface. I'm really starting to see that maybe that's the plan. And
booking him against Cole, for sure.
Right, yeah, and they put him against Cole, who I think they're banking on. Again, Cole sometimes gets too much of that babyface reaction, but I don't know that that is something that will be a problem on the main roster. I think that he will get properly booed there. So this Dunn versus Cole, it's going to be really interesting to see what the crowd does during this one. So that could be fun. And that's going to lead into also a couple of questions that we got about Adam Cole this week, because we always get we talk a lot about Adam Cole, but we're never going to be done. It would
seem. I think we spend more total minutes, and this is again is where we need Harley Statman.
Right.
We need to track how many minutes we spend talking about various folks, and I think I'm pretty sure Adam Cole would lead that.
Lacey Evans might give him a run for his money.
We have talked a lot about Lacey.
Yeah, but Lacey Evans is more interesting.
See, this is okay. This goes real well into our two questions. So, first of all, this one is from a new guy, Nikki B. He gave us a long email, but I'm going to read it because I can't remember which parts are important and which ones aren't. Hey guys, I'm Nick from California. I've been a fan of wrestling for over 30 years. I'm a Torch VIP member and have been listening to your show since the second week. I love that the Torch has an NXT show now because NXT is the brand of wrestling I'm most into right now. Hey, me too. First, I would like to ask you guys what you think about Lars Sullivan being called up about the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. We've talked about that a little. I think that's a good way to bring him up. It seems y'all feel it will probably be Velveteen Dream, but I feel like you guys might have forgot about Lars since he's been off TV. I think he's the perfect candidate for the Battle Royal since every other NXT star that has had that spot has been of the larger size. Also, what do you think are the chances he stays called up afterwards? Second, I have to talk about Adam Cole. The one part of your show that I don't like is when you guys talk about Cole. It drives me nuts that Kelly doesn't understand why people cheer for him in an NXT crowd. It's like what Harley said. It's all people who were fans of his ROH and New Japan work like me. He was in the Bullet Club for crying out loud. I'd like to thank a huge chunk of NXT fans are also ROH and New Japan fans. I'd also like to expand on what Harley said. I don't see what's the big deal about losing to the top babyface Aleister Black twice. I'm a big fan of Black as well, so Cole losing to him does absolutely nothing to lower my enthusiasm for Cole. Cole's not responsible for how NXT uses him. I have a feeling a lot of his fans are just waiting to see where all this goes. And again, he has only really lost to Black, so meh. Also, what I like about Cole as a wrestler is that you could place him in ECW or the Attitude Era, and he would fit right in. My favorite era of wrestling just happens to be Local Access Era ECW. He seems real, like he isn't putting on a character. He has a solid moveset when he is produced to actually use it. He gives off a Shawn Michaels vibe without trying to be Shawn Michaels, unlike Dolph Ziggler. I don't know. I don't think Cole gets a fair chance on the show, especially after how you guys talk about Gargano and The Miz, two guys who lose a lot but still stay over, and yet you guys totally understand why. Why you need to look at Cole through the Miz Gargano lens. Anyway, thanks for the show. Keep up the good work. Okay, that was longer than I thought it was going to be, but whatever. I will field this one first since I was called out specifically, which is odd because the one who hates him is Justin.
Ding, but, ding. That's me. And I always try to make this clear, right? I don't hate Adam Cole, the person. I don't like Adam Cole as presented on NXT, and I think that myself and this reader are actually probably in like 99% agreement.
That's actually what I was going to say. I think that we're more in agreement than he knows. When I was talking about Miz, what I was talking about is that Cole doesn't have – there is no Miz – there is no space for a Miz character on NXT because there is no secondary belt to keep him over unless they want to do the UK title as the secondary title. And the more time goes on, the more I think, okay, we're probably not getting a UK show, but maybe that UK title is the secondary NXT title, which is fine with me. And I guess it's ironic then that it's Cole in this match. So this could be the match where Cole actually finally has a spot to be the Miz character on the show. I think that losing a lot without any title or without anything else to keep you over is a big problem. I'm just going to outright say, I don't care what he did anywhere else. I don't care at all. I'm glad that he's being cheered for it. But right now, the only thing that matters is the character that he's presenting now. And here's the thing. I think a lot of people who watch NXT do watch those other things. I watch New Japan, but only for the last like 8 months. So I don't go back to Adam Cole. But the majority of WWE fans only watch WWE brands. That's just a fact. So I try to keep this in terms of where I talk about him in this way because most fans, this is the only Adam Cole they know. Like, they don't know the Adam Cole who did all this cool stuff elsewhere and who was like dead in the water before he did this silly thing, Adam Cole baby. It's funny to hear him talk in interviews about that. He said, I didn't know it was going to be so simple, but when I came up with Adam Cole baby, it worked. I think that Adam Cole should be on the main roster. I think that he should be sped to the main roster if they're not going to do a secondary title thing with him, because I don't think these losses are helping somebody that is supposed to be the head of a faction. So I don't dislike Adam Cole like Justin James does, but but I think that his presentation is really going to kill him, because right now he's in front of a crowd that is extremely friendly to hardcore fans. But when he goes to the main roster, he's not in those friendly confines anymore. He doesn't have his past to fall back on anymore, because he's going to be in front of a lot of kids and casual fans who have no idea and don't care what he did in the past. So I think he should get there, and I think they should start mizzing him up on SmackDown right away.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I'm Wade Keller, and I urge you to be sure that you're also subscribing to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast at Podcast One and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. All you have to do is search Wade Keller in Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app you use on your Apple or Android device to subscribe to both feeds. There's a red brand covering Raw and SmackDown every Monday night and Tuesday night, and it's downloadable a couple hours after the show. And then there's also the Wade Keller Podcast Flagship Edition on Thursdays with a rotation of co-hosts, including Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, Todd Martin, Bruce Mitchell, and others. And then there's our Interview Friday edition. Every Friday, I'm joined by a guest who has worked in the wrestling business, including ex-WWE creative team members like Kevin Eck talking about Drew McIntyre.
Drew was a young guy, and did it go to his head, and did he walk around like he was the chosen one? He did, and I was frank with him, and I said, Drew, just so you know, this is how they view you.
And Podcast One's own Christian Harloff talking about his days working for WWE and Vince McMahon specifically.
As far as their perception of him, I mean, he's the king. He walks in, and it's just, you can feel it. I mean, if the force was real, you would feel the force powering into the room when he enters.
And pro wrestlers, including NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis, also known as Magnus, talking about the challenges facing Ronda Rousey as she transitions from MMA to WWE.
Think about like the press conferences and stuff like that. Someone tells them like, all right, now it's your turn to go out there, right? I'm sure if you ask Ronda, she'd probably say, this moment is the result of hundreds of people's work, meticulous preparation and planning and timing and everything. And now suddenly it's like, go. And that can be very overwhelming.
Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
Justin, I know that you want to talk about this.
Yeah, so there's two problems. There's two categories of issues with Adam Cole. There's things Adam Cole cannot control, right? For example, his win-loss record, you know, kayfabe. He doesn't, you know, whether or not he wins or loses is out of his hands. We know this, right?
Yep.
How much screen time he gets out of his hands, although he does get a lot, and so on and so on. Things that are, but the other category is things that Adam Cole can control, such as his in-ring work, which is an abomination. I mean, he's got five moves, but I'll give him the credit. He executes every enziguri and every clothesline pretty well. But he shows this really limited moveset. And another thing Adam Cole can control is within some reason is his physique. Right? His physique is awful. And I don't like to talk about the bodies of wrestlers because, you know, I'm against things like fat shaming and all this stuff. I really am. But, you know, as a wrestler, your physique is part of your presentation. And Adam Cole's physique does not put him in the ring with anybody else in NXT. And it looks like his nearest competition is the Brian Kendrick. I can't take him seriously in the ring between his physique and his skill set. One of those two has to change. He either needs to put on like 30 pounds of pure muscle so that he can look like, you know, Roderick Strong or an Aleister Black, somebody who you might say, gee, you know, I don't want to see this guy in a dark alley late at night asking me for my wallet. Or he needs to step up his moveset so I, you know, to be much more high impact so that I can believe he actually is winning a match. Fish and O'Reilly don't have this problem. They have physiques and, you know, they have solid physiques and they have good movesets. Adam Cole's displaying neither. And these are things that he can control. And he's not, and again, I'm not familiar with his ROH work or his New Japan work. I'm out of an ROH market. I don't have cable TV. Haven't had cable in forever. So, you know, New Japan has been not a possibility for me. But I look at his work in NXT, and I'm just so underwhelmed. And I do. I acknowledge that, you know, he's got this huge fan base of people who loved him in New Japan and ROH. That's fantastic. But whatever they saw in ROH and New Japan must have been different from what he's displaying in NXT. Because he's not a cool heel, right? He's got this catchphrase. He's not a fun heel. His promos are fine. In terms of win-loss record, he's not like Shayna Baszler where she's a heel, but I want to cheer her anyways because she's such a killer. Like, if you evaluate Adam Cole based on what he shows in NXT, he's a bum. And that stinks, you know, because I want to believe that there's so much more. I want to believe that these fans saw something in this guy that, you know, he just hasn't had a chance to express. But Adam Cole in NXT has been not great. In terms of wins and losses, yes, we lost to Aleister Black, and that's fine, and I get that. But the truth of the matter is that NXT isn't main roster. Wins and losses matter in NXT, and you can't miss him up in NXT. And it's not just the lack of a secondary belt, which I do agree, Kelly, is an issue. It's the fact that wins and losses matter. On main roster, you know, as Wade likes to always say, you know, Miz is Teflon. He can talk his way back to his heat. That doesn't happen in NXT. You look at Roderick Strong. You know, his heat, you know, he's had too many losses. Roderick Strong had too many losses. The fans can't get behind him. Tyler Bates in danger of that right now. He's had a lot of losses lately. And Adam Cole has a lot of losses. And he's saying, yeah, I can't take him seriously. It'll take months to rehabilitate Adam Cole if they get serious and want to push him. They're just doing so much damage to him, and that's something that he can't control. But he's just like caught in the eye of the perfect storm right now, where he's just like, he's not doing his end, and the bookers and the writers are not doing their end to present him as a great character.
All right, Harley, I'm going to give you a second on him too, but first I'm going to read the other Adam Cole email. This is from Josh Dulay. Getting there maybe on this last name. Who knows? But anyway, Josh says, "What's up, NXT crew? I'm loving the show you guys are doing and was delighted to find out there was going to be an NXT podcast. There needed to be a show covering the best brand in the WWE. Adam Cole came into NXT being a really hot commodity. Since then, he has been losing legitimacy with loss after loss. Do you think WWE has already messed this one up? I don't know about anything Cole's time before NXT, but he carried all of this hype and has done nothing but lose big matches. I don't think Kyle O'Reilly or Bobby Fish need him so much as they were doing fine and are on top of their division. Would it be smart to send Cole up to 205 sooner than later so he can build up a strong heel persona, which is needed there anyway? Thank you and keep up the great work. Josh from St. Louis, Missouri." I will say, obviously, we covered some of that. O'Reilly and Fish, it's true that they don't necessarily need him. By the way, Bobby Fish did get injured a couple nights ago. Hope it wasn't very serious because we got WrestleMania weekend coming up and with the title match, but he did get hurt. But I do want to bring up Cole going to 205 here, which is something I never even considered and still doesn't feel right to me. I feel like they're thinking that they want more out of Cole than to put him there, but maybe Triple H is the right person to, I don't know. I feel like 205 is kind of like NXT in that it seems like wins and losses are about to start really mattering. It seems like this chicken shit running heel isn't what that show is going to be about. Maybe you can do it, but it seems like the direction of 205 right now is going to totally prohibit that kind of character from doing what he does best. That's my thought on that. Harley, anything on Adam Cole? Anything and everything.
anything in response to you four.
And is there anything left?
All of your long speeches. All right. I do know Adam Cole from ROH. Not from day one. I was not privy to his time teaming with Kyle O'Reilly as Future Shock when they were young rookies. I probably joined ROH when he was a member of the Kingdom with Mike Bennett and Matt Taven and Maria, through to Bullet Club, right through to the end, and him coming here. So I'm pretty familiar with Adam Cole. I will say that his character in NXT is more or less the same character that he played there. I'm trying, like Kelly, to separate NXT Adam Cole from Adam Cole career wrestler and just judge him based on his merits in NXT so far, because that seems to be more or less the discussion we're having here. In that sense, I'm certainly not as down on him as some people are. I almost wonder how much some of you guys are being worked. Because the last email gives me sort of the same, I don't know who the hell is this Adam Cole guy? I hear so much about him. I don't watch the other companies. I don't know who he is. He comes in and this guy sucks. Fish and O'Reilly don't need him. He doesn't win any matches. He's a loser. He's like, why am I supposed to cheer? Why am I supposed to like this guy? Why am I supposed to cheer for this guy? You're not. You're supposed to hate Adam Cole, the character. You're supposed to find him a weasel and a loser who talks a big game but never backs it up, who runs away when things get serious, but who grins through the entire thing. Every time he loses, he comes back the next time acting just as cocky and arrogant and smiling ear to ear as if it never happened. And naturally, that's going to infuriate the hell out of you, because especially in NXT, especially in Ring of Honor, where wins and losses matter, where wrestling is the key, having this guy seemingly not care about losing should drive you nuts. It should kind of push your buttons. I do think the one negative that he has going for him right now that he didn't have at the end of his run in ROH is what Kelly touched on, which is he had a history already. In ROH, he was playing a similar character at the end, very weaselly, very smarmy. But he was a former world champion, a former tag champion. He had that to kind of back up his claims, even if he hadn't won a lot recently. He doesn't have that in NXT yet. I don't think he wins the UK title next week, but maybe he does down the line at some point. But I definitely think that he's playing the character he's playing is very purposeful and very thought out by himself and Triple H and the others. As to his future and his ceiling, the fact that he was in the Royal Rumble and the only other man who was in the Royal Rumble from NXT this year was the NXT champion makes me think that they have big plans for him, bigger than 205 Live.
Oh, yeah.
As good as 205 Live has gotten.
I thought maybe that this was a call-up at the Rumble. I wouldn't have been upset if it had been a call-up, because I think he needs to be on the main roster, and we need to see what that character does there, because I think the reactions to him will be more proper, more of what's desired. And I think they'll have stuff for him to chase and maybe get him up there, get him feuding with Bobby Roode right away.
I was almost disappointed by how loud the cheers were for him last week, because I feel like the character he's playing right now, he should be getting some big boos. He should be like kind of one of the top heels on the show, in the sense that, like, what is there to like about this guy? I mean, Justin would back me up. There's nothing I like about this guy.
Right? No, and I will say this, Ryan. I mean, you have opened my eyes here. You know, it is quite possible. I'm just being worked, and I'm the biggest mark in the room. That could be quite possible. And I would love it. You know, if they suddenly whip this out, and I'd be like, I love it. But I truly would love that. You know, if that's what's going on here.
Yep. So. That's our weekly Adam Cole segment.
tune in next week.
Next week he's
for
got
Tom's
a match.
Opinions so on Adam Cole.
So you know we'll be talking about him again next week. Okay. We got what else do we get? We got the quick Belair match. Nothing much to say there. Again, we all like Bianca on this show. We're all waiting for bigger things. And
she's up to 4-0 now in NXT.
Yep.
Wait, did we downgrade her to like?
Oh, I'm sorry. We all love her. We all love
yes.
her here on the show.
She's the EST.
My so, kids yeah. love her, too. My daughter, EST. My six-year-old daughter, loves Bianca Belair.
And my 10-year-old. So there you go. So we also got Dane and Black this week in the main event, as was announced. And it was kind of, I don't know if they said this to the live crowd, but this was positioned as the number one contender for the TakeOver special that is coming. So, yeah, Aleister Black won, as we knew that he was gonna. It was a decent, hard-hitting match, not overly long or anything like that. Harley, anything to say on this match?
Yeah, solid match for sure. Coming to the last TakeOver, I kind of assumed it would be Black and Almas at TakeOver New Orleans. So if we do head in that direction, I'm all for it. I think that's a solid TakeOver main event for sure, and it'll be a hell of a match. Black's up to 14-1 now in NXT. The only men's record better than that is Big E, who is 18-1-1.
Right.
And then Pete Dunne and Lars Sullivan, who are currently undefeated. But yeah, so Black's building himself a solid resume. He's right up there in the echelon of the top NXT guys. As I said earlier, I like that Sanity appears to be still together as a foursome. It had been a while since we saw the four of them together, so it's nice to see that back together. And I stand by my belief that the four of them need to be drafted as a unit next month.
Sure. All right, and Justin, on the Dane versus Black main event.
I like the way this main event started with, you know, Dane just nailing that Finn Balor-esque hesitation drop. You're like, wow, did Finn Balor, you know, gain 200 pounds? It was just a beautiful drop kick. It just set the right tone. And then the match just felt like it never got out of second gear after that. Like, it went straight from first to second, great start, and then boom, it just kept that pace, and I felt for the amount of words that these guys had, I expected a little bit more fury and vengeance. I'm not saying it was a bad match, it just didn't quite have the oomph that I expected from these two. But good match. Rang in at 9 minutes and change. I enjoyed it. I think that Aleister Black was the right person to win. I think that they're now kind of in a booking conundrum because Black should not be losing ever.
Yep.
And Almas, I think, is just doing such a great job. Or did I say Almas? I meant Zelina Vega is doing such a great job as the champion that I just don't want to see her lose the belt.
Right.
Even if it would be to Black. And so, you know, I just look at it and I say, I hate to stick to the formula here, but I say, let's have Black lose and go to main roster the next night on Raw.
Or the other way around. Yeah, I mean, loser gets promoted again. So,
yep.
Yeah, I wonder if they even know, because I think that there's stuff for both of them to do up on the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
I'm eager to see Almas work with a lot more guys because he's just so damn good. Excited for that.
But at the same time, I really feel that Black has just run. He's just done everything he can do in NXT.
Yeah.
And his character should not be talking, and the champion needs to be talking, and he's not Asuka. And I don't want to see a 2-year Aleister Black reign. I love the guy. I don't want to see a 2-year Aleister Black reign.
Yeah, strike while the iron's hot. Bring him up, and have him up there. So,
wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Cool. That is the Dane versus Black segment. And then the one other segment that I thought was a really effective way to use no words was the Tommaso Ciampa segment. I love this. In fact, one of our listeners actually live tweeted me during this, just saying, oh my God, wasn't that Ciampa thing awesome? And he said he was just sitting there the whole time saying, please don't speak, please don't speak. And sure enough, he didn't. Really, really effective. Do you call it a promo? I don't know what you call it, but very effective. Keep him in our minds. He's still hobbling a little bit, but not very much. This was a great way to keep him fresh on our minds, make us wonder again, what's his issue? Why? Like, we need more from him, but we didn't get that here. And the audience, gotta love him for this. They gave us the absolute perfect response to what we were supposed to get out of Ciampa here. Anything on this Ciampa segment, guys?
Knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
This was Reigns, the Raw after WrestleMania last year, right?
Yeah. Did you get a sneak preview of my report that I filed?
No, did you? Again,
that's the exact comparison I made, too.
Yeah, just stand there with a mic and milk the booze while people. So, yeah, I'm still very intrigued where this goes with Gargano. Maybe Johnny doesn't come back and Ciampa sticks around and Ciampa finds a new target now. Somebody like Ricochet shows up and Ciampa ruins his first match or something like that instead. And Ciampa just feuds with the fans, kind of. Like, anytime the fans really get behind someone, Ciampa makes them his new target.
That would be amazing, actually.
That would be. And,
sounds
and you know, and you know what? Seriously, like, the ultimate working us here would be, I mean, we've assumed for like 9 months now, something like that we're going to see Ciampa Gargano at TakeOver New Orleans. If they don't deliver that, Ciampa and NXT become the ultimate heels.
Right.
It's like you just shot the Undertaker or something. You know, like you took away something I want that I've looked forward to all year. That and also something I want to point out, and again, something I usually don't point out, Is it my imagination or does Ciampa look like he's totally transformed his body, his physique?
Now, I know he always had a little something on him, but I did notice that he just looks
huge.
He went from solid.
He looks like an action figure.
Yeah, yeah, he looks frightening, and it's great.
He looks like in my report, I compared him to Cesaro and Cena. Now he's his arms have thickened up at least 2 inches. His body fat percentage is way down. He's got veins popping. I mean, he was always kind of like, you know, I work out, but he was never, you know, Seth Rollins, I work out. But now he looks like Cesaro or Cena, and like kudos for him, especially given that he was injured. That's a tough thing to do while injured.
Yeah, he had nothing but time, but I mean, obviously you got to treat your body right when you're rehabbing.
Yeah, that plus the serial killer beard with this flecks of gray and white in it.
Oh yeah, it's like Matt Hardy. It's like Matt Hardy meets one of the Bludgeon Brothers.
But do like a Google image search of Tommaso Ciampa ROH and compare that to how he looks today, and like totally different.
Once upon a time, he was playing like a rich kid stereotype. I mean, that was what his early days were. It's great. And anybody out there, I know we've talked about it before, but Google up Google up the SmackDown appearance of Tommaso Ciampa, where he goes in as like some stuffed shirt, some guy in a suit, and he's trying to talk down Undertaker, and Undertaker just tombstones the hell out of him. It's so bizarre.
It's like the evolution of Triple H.
Yep.
But yeah, I just love this segment. I liked what they're doing here, and yeah, this idea that Ciampa just fused, just, you know, just does an alpha strike against anyone debuting that we want to see, whether it be Ricochet, whether it be whoever. That's just such a great concept. Thank you.
I'd love for them to try to do. We don't get enough storylines between men and women outside of like the odd romance story where you get odd stuff like, you know, Cena kissing Eve Torres and stuff. So I'd love if they could do some sort of story with Candice LeRae as well, if he's like hanging around and like not stalking her, but, you know, like
trying to put the moves on her. Like, no, Johnny,
like,
Curtis?
Like, bullying
her.
That'd
be even worse. Oh, like, my God.
Watching matches and harassing her and stuff until...
No, I want to see him try to put the movie, be this creepy jerk to Candice LeRae.
Oh, man. Can my heart take it? I don't know.
Now that would be some great TV. And then Johnny's got to come back.
Right.
Like, look, now you're messing with my wife. I don't care if they have to arrest me. I'm coming in this arena and I'm going to kill you.
This would be a great way to set up like a non-sanctioned match. Oh my God, I've got a segue here. Andrew Gamble's question. Okay, here's my prediction. I predict that Gargano and Almas is still taking place in New Orleans. It just seems too big of a match and is too important to NXT's history. I predict it taking place as a non-sanctioned match, similar to Triple H and Shawn Michaels from SummerSlam 02. As good of a traditional match as the Duke could put on, I'd love to see them in an environment where they can just beat the hell out of each other. Okay, so obviously this was written, Andrew wrote this a week and a half ago and forgot to send it for last week and sent it to us this week. Obviously we're not getting Gargano and Almas because we're getting Almas and Black, I think. So, but I wouldn't mind seeing, obviously, Ciampa draw Gargano back for this match. Again, keep it unsanctioned for now. I don't know. That gets a little gimmicky for NXT, but I think it's still not over the line. I think maybe it works, and it works for this feud anyway, which has been a really, really great feud that deserves a big blow off, and it does deserve to be on NXT, frankly. Rather than have them blow it off 6 months down the road on the main roster. So, I don't know if there's anything more to say about that because this question was about Gargano and Almas, but I wanted to throw that one out there as well. Anything more on Ciampa, or should I move on to question number 5?
I think we're good for this week.
All right. Yep. we'll have plenty more to say about the silent psycho killer. Okay.
Tune in next week for PWT Talks Adam Cole and Tommaso Ciampa.
That's it.
Can we just get them on the show?
Can we have questions from anyone else? Oh, I'm sure Adam Cole would be thrilled to talk to you, Justin. Because that would be good listening. I think that would break our records for listeners. I have a question here from Brian Alston. I have a couple. Brian got a little silly, and it's great. Hello, Brian from Phoenix, senior PW Torch VIP subscriber. There we go. Hello, gentlemen. I've listened to every episode and really like it, especially the post-takeover show. I started watching NXT when the WWE Network went live. I never saw the Hulu programs. Number one, what time do you record the show? If we email right after NXT ends, will there be enough time to answer it? I'll just go ahead and answer that right now for you, Brian. We do it right after the show. We take about 10 minutes to grab our drinks and get situated and tell each other what the kind of the plot of the episode is going to be. If you send us something right at the end of the show. Now, this has happened, actually, where people ask us stuff right at the end of the show about the show that just ended. And if you do that, we will, in all likelihood, answer the question. So there you go. Number two, and I'll just throw this to him right away. Any truth to the internet rumor that Harley is named after Harley Race?
Oh, no. Word on the street is my parents wanted to name me Lee, but they felt it was too common.
Okay.
Yeah, and yet I've met like one Lee in my entire life, so I don't know. My parents are hiding something in the past.
My dad and my stepdad both have the middle name Lee, so apparently that's my mom's type, is she needs to be with a guy whose middle name is Lee, because otherwise they are not similar in any way.
Yeah, you're some creepy territory here. I want to know how come people are spreading internet rumors about you, Harley, and not me.
I love that, the internet rumor.
Because I got two Torch podcasts.
Oh, that's true.
Is there actually an internet rumor at all about you being named after Harley Race? Is this?
Wait until next week, and the big rumor about what the M stands for in Justin M. James.
Oh, there we go. Brian's just having fun with us here. But his third question, who are your favorite NXT tag team champions? Mine are the Lucha Dragons, he says. And my favorite tag team champions they've had?
Adrian Neville and Oliver Gray.
I don't go back that far, unfortunately.
And I still don't remember anything about Oliver Gray.
I couldn't pick him out of a one-person lineup.
He had an English lion on his trunks. He was tall, well-built, solid ring set. Kind of remind me of Davey Boy Harry David Smith, whatever it was that Tyson
did.
David Hart Smith.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's still working in New Japan. Although they just call him Junior. Well, not just Junior, you know what I mean. So
he's not Aaron Hart.
Yeah, not just Junior. So mine would probably, I'll tell you what, my favorite team that I've seen as the champions is DIY, but my favorite championship reign, my favorite champions, is AOP. Really, really liked their title reign, and I like the stories that happened with the titles while they were champions, and the stories that were told with the Revival and DIY trying to, like, hating each other, but having to work together to try to. So this was, the reign is what made this my choice, because otherwise my favorite two champions would be DIY and Revival, but I'll say AOP as favorite champions because of what happened with the titles at that time.
Yeah, it's really tough to pick between AOP, DIY, and Revival. That was just like this really magic era for the tag team championship scene in NXT.
Yeah, I'd probably go with the Revival myself. The first 2 years of NXT, the tag division was not great. I mean, there was literally, I think, a full year where the Ascension, I think, just won squash matches. That was it. Like, once a month, the Ascension would show up, squash some jobbers, leave. It got to the point where they're like, oh, there's a takeover coming. We have literally no teams on the roster for them to face. Who can they face? Let's dust Too Cool off and drag them out of mothballs.
And there was that Corey Graves and Neville pairing that made no sense.
And it didn't last long because it's not how when Graves got injured.
For the last
Graves
time,
did singles a little bit first, but
He jumped Neville, turned on Neville, and then got injured again and became an announcer.
Yeah. All right. So that is our questions from... Sorry, that was Brian, right? There are too many names to try to remember. We're getting there. This is from Coleman Wiederhold. That's the best name of anybody who's emailed us so far. I love it. Any word on the status of EC3? I'm still seeing him on Impact every week. Granted, I know that Impact is pre-recorded, but I thought there had been a new round of tapings already post-Royal Rumble, and EC3 showed up at the TakeOver the night before the Royal Rumble, so it just has me wondering. Also, if you have the time and I'm allowed to ask more than one question, some people ask us four or five. What are the five matches we get at TakeOver New Orleans, in your opinion, based on what we have seen to this point? Thank you. Love the show. Coleman W. from Texas. As far as EC3, I'm always careful about not looking at who's on the tapings because I know that I'm going to end up ruining stuff for myself, and I like to go into this show not knowing. But I would love to ask Tom, because Tom...
He's at Full Sail right this moment.
Right. Tom is at Full Sail for the tapings, and he will be able to field this next week. He listens to the show when he's not on it, so hopefully he gets... So, Tom, if you're listening, buddy, tell us about EC3. Just tell us if he's there. No spoilers or anything. Just let us know he's here. I don't think there's anything secret here. I think he'll be showing up.
I'm certain that he is officially signed to NXT. I'm certain of that.
Yeah, that's all been confirmed. There's been lots of Instagram photos of him and Drake Maverick hanging out at IHOP. And
all right.
Rich Fan, formerly of the Primetime Friday Laughcast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes, places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. All are welcome. No secret handshakes here, because Saturday nights on the livecast are officially all right for diving.
But yeah, it's been a month now since the last TakeOver, and yeah. No EC3, no War Machine, no Ricochet.
They took their time with McIntyre.
Yep, and maybe they just think that, you know, and this is main roster too, you don't want to introduce too many new characters right before WrestleMania weekend. It's not a popular time to do it. I know NXT doesn't have to be beholden to that rule, but maybe it's just old habits dying hard and they don't want to do that. As far as TakeOver matches, we do have one. We have the championship match, the tag team championship match, whatever that is. If AOP doesn't win that tournament, I think they will probably work with TM61, and we could have Baszler's got to be on it, and I think we'll just get. I think we're just going to get Baszler Moon. I'm pretty sure, and I wouldn't be surprised if that was the end of Moon in the company. Harley, go ahead.
That was my thinking after the past couple of weeks. Ember and Shayna. Shayna wins the title. Ember gets drafted to Raw. I don't know who wins the tag tournament now, honestly. I'd have to look at the brackets again and do some guessing, but nobody comes to mind because TM61 were my pick. And then there's generally two. We usually get five matches on TakeOver, the three titles and then two others. But the booking's been strange lately. When we got that brief moment with Dunn and Cole tonight, I thought, oh, there's a potential TakeOver match. And then 5 minutes later, they're like, no, that's next week.
I thought we were going to get Strong and Dunn teaming against and a partner of their choice in a Teddy Long special against Undisputed Era.
Okay. Yeah.
And I thought that Dunn was turning face.
I think he is.
Yep.
I think they're going to turn there because he's getting cheered anyway. Why not?
Yeah, you got to turn face. You have to. Nobody's booing the guy.
And finally, Velveteen Dream pretty much has to be on the show, I would assume.
Yeah.
Velveteen Dream as the third man in that pairing. Velveteen Dream, who's also getting cheered, Dunn and Strong against Undisputed Era.
But Fish and O'Reilly already confirmed to defend the tag titles at TakeOver.
Oh, yeah, right.
They can work two matches a night.
But I did have the thought this week of Velveteen Dream versus Adam Cole. Dream's in the same state as Dunn, right, where he's getting massive cheers. Why not lean into them? And Velveteen's not the kind of heel where he comes out and he cuts down the fans and he insults people. So it really could be as simple as he wins an enhancement match 2 weeks from now. As he's cutting a promo afterwards, Undisputed Year come out and surround him because they're just tired of other people getting the spotlight, not them.
And then we've maybe got Lars Sullivan as well. He is back. He apparently was going to be – I think he's back in the ring, or at least was going to be at these tapings. I had heard that he was going to be in these tapings that Tom is at. So Tom can tell us whether
he
was there.
I think he wrestled a house show the past weekend.
But
I did hear that that he initially was actually going to be Almas's challenger at New Orleans, which is weird to me, character-wise. But sure. I had heard that he was going to be, but then they pulled the plug on that because he wasn't going to be there for enough of the tapings. And it would have had to get started way too late.
Because you guys know how high I am on Lars Sullivan. And I'm dead serious. I'm like, thank goodness, I'm glad that he's back. I am super high on Lars Sullivan. Love his work.
Definitely interested to see where his character goes from here. Because we haven't really seen a lot of... I guess his closest comparison on the main roster is Samoa Joe. Where he's a brute, but he also is extremely well-spoken, and he's calm, which is almost scarier than when he's not. I'm interested to see where he goes from here. So, that's him. Let me pull up another question. One of my last two emails here. It's a good thing there wasn't a lot to talk about on the show. this is from Johnny Green 9. I think it's Johnny Green. All the vowels are taken out. Should they move Mike Bennett to NXT since his wife, Maria Kanellis, is pregnant? They took him off TV. They have done anything with him on the main roster but work house shows. I don't know that moving a guy to NXT is really what they're about at this point. It is definitely the proving ground and or place of learning for these young guys. We've seen guys go down there to rejuvenate themselves in the past. I don't know. I guess I don't see it, but maybe one of you guys can provide a counterpoint. Mike Kanellis in NXT. Justin?
I could see them. I could see them making a case for it, especially since he did not stop at NXT to begin with. I think that maybe somebody in the office might be afraid that sets a bad precedent, that NXT is a place where you get to go because you've got a family thing going on. Or it's like, oh, my wife's pregnant, so I get to spend most of my time around Florida because we live there. And you know what I'm saying? That's the kind of thing where, as an employer, WWE may not want to be sending that message to the locker room. Right. Because all of a sudden you're going to see a whole bunch of pregnant wags.
Harley, what do you think?
I believe I heard that part of the reason he hasn't been on TV lately is because Maria got pregnant. But I think when I inquired about it on Twitter, somebody told me that it was also partly he was in rehab for a bit. So it's not necessarily that they didn't have plans for him. I don't think they had plans for him, but it's not necessarily the reason why he wasn't on TV. So. It was odd that he never went to NXT because that's very rare these days. In the last 5 years, who has come into the company and skipped NXT? Styles, Carl Anderson, is that it?
Gallows.
Yeah, but Gallows had been around at least before as Festus and stuff.
Or Dudley Brothers,
Yeah, so it's very rare that
Hardys
skips over NXT. So, and he hasn't been, he didn't get any kind of a start on the main roster, but I don't know if going to NXT would help him, because when's the last time we saw Ty Dillinger?
Yep. Okay, well.
We also knew that was exactly what was going to happen to Ty Dillinger, so.
Probably. All right, I have one more email, but Chad Landers does have multiple questions, so let's see. Hey guys, had a few thoughts for you. Is Drew McIntyre going to be back in time for WrestleMania TakeOver or soon after? What will be his feud / schedule? Where the heck have Peyton and Billy been? I thought they were doing so great, maybe even main roster ready. One last question, do you think we'll even see a women's tag division in NXT? Thanks, guys, and keep up the good work covering NXT. I'll cover Peyton and Billy. I have talked about this before. I believe they're being kept off TV because they lost a lot of matches, and now when they come back, absence makes the heart grow fonder, and it's not such a... You don't think about them as the people who are losing all their matches. I think the next time we see them, it will probably be on the main roster. I don't want to see them on the weekly show again if they're just going to slot into the same places they were going to. I think that they should just be slotted onto the main roster as soon as there is a place for two heels to work together as a, you know, not a faction, but a pair. A duo.
They're almost definitely getting drafted, for sure. And part of the reason they haven't been on NXT recently is they've been recuperating from cosmetic surgery.
Oh.
Which is a good sign that they have been, I guess they got the hint that they're probably coming up to Raw or SmackDown, and so they got themselves more endowed. So
Okay, and again, preface this with, I generally don't like to talk about physiques, yeah, but Peyton Royce and Billy Kay were both ample in that department.
Right. I don't know that they... All right. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Peyton Royce in particular, I think if you added any more there, she'd be in danger of falling over.
Well, I believe it's been all but confirmed on their Instagrams and other accounts.
Okay, well
anyway, they are probably getting... I could see them on Raw, picking on Bayley and maybe... I don't know, are there any baby faces left in the women's division?
Not many.
Baby face?
Or Lynch, yeah.
And you can't have them go after Asuka, because then they'll just get their asses
slushed
to them. Yeah,
again.
So.
And then D-Bob will write a whole bunch of comments about the Asuka train.
All right, well... As far as Drew, is he going to be back in time? Harley, have you been tweeting people about Drew's return?
I have not heard anything about Drew. I personally hope he doesn't come back to NXT. I think this is a fine opportunity for him to just jump straight into either one of the main world title pictures. You could definitely put him up against Reigns or up against Styles if they want to start off in the mid card instead, to reacquaint main people who don't watch NXT to the new Drew McIntyre. That works too, but I don't think he needs to be in NXT.
And this is another guy that Tom can tell us if he was at the tapings, but if he was, there's not a lot of time before WrestleMania. There's really not. 5 weeks, 4 weeks?
TakeOver New Orleans is 1 month from today.
Okay, well, there you go. Not really a ton of time to get Drew in, not only get him in, but to get him a feud. Any feuds that are going to happen should be simmering in some way already. So I don't think that Drew is going to be at... I wouldn't be surprised to see him work on WrestleMania weekend, but I do not think that he will be booked for a TakeOver match. As far as a women's tag division in NXT, which is the last thing that we will tackle on this particular show, I don't think we'll see a division insofar as we'll see a title, but they definitely have enough women to have the occasional let's bring up Teddy Long special again. You definitely could have those. I just don't know that they need that kind of title there. You really, really need a lot of people to sustain that, and I don't think they would want to give three different women titles when at any time they might be raided by the main roster and it's all that's left are the champions. I don't know. I don't know about that one. You guys, thoughts on that?
I think the bigger issue to me is the amount is that it's a 1 hour show.
Right.
And as it is, we've got the UK title as this kind of sort of secondary title, and they don't have the room in the number of minutes allotted to them on a weekly basis to have any promotion of the UK. I mean, that title is successful based on the sheer in-ring work of the people in that division and the fact that their characters come across so well in their very brief screen time. It's a true testament to Bate, Dunn, Trent Seven, Wolfgang, and a couple others that thing's running as well as it is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just don't think they have the minutes to give to a women's tag team division, and I don't think they have enough women to give to a women's tag team division. So I don't see where the win is, and as much as I love the women's division of NXT, I don't think there's any win for anybody by having a tag team division. It'll just be a forgotten championship.
I'm always less is more with the titles. The fewer titles there are, the more each one means, the more prestigious it is to be holding a title. Yeah. And it's weird, but it is weird to me. I totally agree with Justin, where I feel like, oh, adding another title, there's not enough room on this one-hour weekly show. And yet ROH has a one-hour weekly show with five titles, and it never feels cluttered over there. So I don't know. It's just something about the presentation that's different, and I'd have to think about that some more, I guess, as to why that is.
Yeah, and I don't know. If they start bringing a lot of women along, maybe we'll feel differently. But you did get me thinking. Like, I don't hate the idea. I just don't know how you work that in. Plus, when the TakeOver show is only five matches, that doesn't leave much for your non-champions to do, which, unless you're going to have that title occasionally not be on TakeOver, in which case, does the title have enough meaning to even be on the show if you're not going to use it on a TakeOver special? So, I don't know. I think that's our show, guys.
Hey, what about instead they do a Dusty Rhodes tournament for women? Where you do like a women's tag team tournament instead of a women's tag team title.
All right.
Once you do the women's tag team tournament, they win a trophy instead.
Yeah. Look at Harley. I think that is a fantastic idea. And again, I have to ask, why are we not running our own promotion?
Yeah, it's time. we'd all like to announce our retirements from podcasting to start our new wrestling school.
Finally, my predictions will come true.
Yeah, we'll be able to bet on everything and make tons and tons of cash. All right, so that for real is our show. Thank you for all the questions. This was a lot of new names here. I think Andrew was our only repeat one, unless there's something I forgot. So, yeah, keep them coming. pwtorchnxt@gmail.com. And we'll see you next week with what seems to be a pretty stacked show with some interesting matches that actually have some heat on them already. Harley, go ahead and say goodbye and tell people where to bother you.
Yes, my name is Harley R. Paget. You can find me on Twitter @TalkingHonor. I also host a podcast called Talking Honor. Here on PW Torch, along with Lola Bradbury, we discuss the week in Ring of Honor. So we have a special one this weekend for the ROH 16th anniversary pay-per-view. I'll also be doing live coverage of ROH's 16th anniversary pay-per-view Friday night. So if you aren't watching, you can go to the Torch and read along as I brief you on all of the big Ring of Honor and Bullet Club developments.
All right, Justin.
I am Justin_M_James, and that M stands for... Oh, I'm not going to give you guys. Not going to give you guys the satisfaction. You fans in Minneapolis don't deserve it.
Oh, man, because you're a Mark. Working heel. He's working heel against
working heel.
Me.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I forgot you were in Minneapolis. It's just like it came up twice tonight now.
Yeah, that's my home. I mean, I'm in a suburb, but that's my city, man.
It was the Nick Miller thing with the boots.
Yep, yeah. I've got boots.
I've got Minneapolis and Minnesota on the mind. Yep, and I write for the Torch every week. I do the TV report of NXT, and I've been watching NXT since the very first USA Network when it replaced ECW. Haven't missed an episode.
All right, and I am Kelly Wells. I have been your host, and happy about it. You can find me at Spooky Milk on Twitter, and I don't do a ton there, but I do respond to people when they tweet me, as I did tonight. So I want to thank the many of you who sent us questions, and I will go ahead and thank David W. Jackson, who tweeted me and asked me a couple of questions during the show tonight while it was on. So, yeah, good times. Thanks for indulging us with this very large mailbag. Keep the questions coming, but maybe just, you know, kind of space them out nicely, and we'll have a more efficient show. Cheers, everyone.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free editions of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan 4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan 4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.
No.